Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Well, I know we got at least one of those guys here right now. Welcome to Jaguars Monday. We are live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. I'm Jeremy Ratliff stepping in for Brian Sexton. I'm joined in the studio here to my left. We got CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco on the show. Of course, sitting in front of me, Marco Coleman. And real quick, the big three things you need to know this Monday night. Well, they did find their way into the end zone with one touchdown. Jags lose big to the 49ers in London yesterday, 42-10. 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick ran for two touchdowns, throws a touchdown. 49ers running back Frank Gore ran for two touchdowns. Meanwhile, number two on the list of the big three things, the Jags take their 0-8 record into the bye week. Next up, the team's going to take on the Titans in Tennessee. That's on November the 1st. And number three on the list of the big three things, it was a wild weekend of football around the NFL and included the Lions beating the Cowboys in a fantastic finish. Don't know if you got to catch the end of that game after the Jaguars game yesterday. Calvin Johnson had 329 yards receiving in the game. A lot of emotion towards the end of the game on the sideline by Cowboys tight end Jason Witten and wide receiver Dez Bryant on the sideline. We're going to talk about Bryant's actions a little later in the show. If you want to get involved in the conversation during the show, you can do so by giving us a shout, calling with a question, a comment, whatever you want. Join us by calling 355-NFL1. Once again, that number 355-NFL1. But first things first on the show here, we're going to talk about the Jags' loss to the 49ers yesterday in London.
Jumped out 7-0, 14-0. And really, we got in the locker room at halftime and looked at some adjustments and what we could do. But on some of the things, it's hard to say, okay, we need to tackle better. We missed some tackles. And, you know, on the toss crack, not playing as aggressively as we wanted. Now, is that because of the scheme or our guys were tentative? But for whatever reason, we did not play things correctly, and we need to find out why.
That is some audio there from Gus Bradley's post-game press conference in London yesterday. Marco and Pete, first of all, how you guys doing today?
Love
good.
What's up, Pete?
Yeah, man. You're well, back.
It's always good to see Pete. Yeah. He's like one of my favorite people, I'm telling you.
Let's get right to it here, guys. How much is this one sting for the Jaguars?
Well, you know, you hear Gus Bradley say it. It stings because it's a physicality thing. You know, you have up front, specifically, he was talking defensively, we talk about tackling, guys that are tenured, you know, in that front seven. And these are guys that you brought in here. You figure Roy Miller, Cindric Marks,
Babin,
Hayes,
Babin.
These guys physically just got handled, and that was the deal. When you talk about not tackling, not defeating, cut blocks and things of that nature, those are physical issues. And, and this is not the first week. This has been a repeated deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just – I mean, San Francisco is one of the more physical teams in the league. That's what they are. That's what they do. So, yeah, you're going to get pushed around sometimes by them. But not to that nature. I mean, to that degree.
Bullied.
Yeah. Well, they bully – San Francisco will bully some people.
But, I mean,
now.
But people stand up to them. You know what I mean? The good teams, the good players, you may not be as good as Il Pato. You know, he's a big, strong dude. But you don't back down from
right. him. Right. And I talked to the Rams people this year – early in the summer, they were talking about how they're the bully on the block, and they want to be the bully on the block. You got to stand up to them. And the Rams played them tough twice last year, tied them, and
Seattle.
Beat them.
Yep. They Seattle. Lost two games. They've got yeah. they have some losses. So some
well,
they,
you know what? You know who bullied them? Indianapolis went to San Francisco and bullied them. They bullied back at them. And you're right. That's what you have to do to the 49ers. You got to hit them back in the mouth.
And that's the league. I mean, that's football, though, Pete. Right. You know what I mean? I played the game to where I wasn't the fastest, the strongest, but I felt my strong suit was my attitude, and I was coming to bully you. You know what I mean? I think I ran like a 5.2 at the combine. How about that? I still got picked 12. And that was because of attitude. You know, like big Tony in here, you know, he's bigger than me, but I'm going to kick your butt, Tony. You know, not literally. That's
well,
my,
I don't
that's
know.
My buddy.
I don't know.
In your
prime? I don't know. That would have been a good one.
It would have been a good one. But, I mean, just using that as, you know,
I know
figuratively.
What you mean.
But, you know, but that's how you have to play in order to become a championship team. This is the team that was in the Super Bowl. The Baltimore Ravens, they're a bully team. It's a physical, that's the sport. And if you don't have that, you're not going to have a good team.
Yeah, and look, let's face it. The Jaguars this year are about building to something more. It's not about wins this year. But What you're not seeing is progress. And that's the concern, because they haven't competed in any game at all. I mean, people will say they competed against Denver. When Denver put their foot to the pedal, that was the end of that game too. So that's the concern right now. You want to see growth. You want to see these guys getting better, and I don't necessarily think you are. And part of that problem is it goes back to that quarterback position. If your quarterback's not very good, you're not going to see progress in certain areas. The offensive line's not very good, so you're not going to see progress with the offense. And then you talk about the front seven on defense. Where are the players on that unit?
I mean, you're not talking about, you know, guys fifth, sixth, seventh year in the league, 10th year in the league, as, you know, looking to get better during the course. They're primed. You know, you go into the season thinking that that's going to be the group, if nothing else, is going to hold a portion of this team down, because the guys have played, they've seasoned, they've been in football games. We can count on this group, but you got to put a big red dot on that group as being probably the least physical of the whole crowd. I like the wide receivers are more physical than the front seven.
You know, it's funny, when we left here last week, remember we were talking about Babin last week? We had him caught or whatever. Then we left here, and then over the course of a couple of days, it started leaking out around the league that maybe Babin might be on the market, trade market. And I'm like, for what? A tuna sandwich? What are you going to give? What are they going to give up for him?
Oh, boy.
Jaguars would take a tuna sandwich for him, I think.
Now, Pete, I got a question for you. Jaguars, no stranger to losing this year, but is this loss bigger from your perspective because it happened in London on this stage?
No.
Not at all?
Okay. No. First off, I imagine, and I got some tweets back from London people the other day, I saw some people on Twitter talking about what I said last week, that they wouldn't know what they were seeing. And the reality is probably the majority of that stadium didn't know what they were seeing. They were going to a football game, and they had a good time and probably living it up and everything else. They didn't know if the Jaguars were bad. They knew that there was a football game. So I don't think it hurts, and I think they're going to get more aware of how bad the team is as years from now. I think they'll get a better understanding of American football, and they will like it and come to like it a lot. But right now, I don't think that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Shad Khan might think it is because he's the businessman that took his team there, but there's still 83,000 people in that stadium. It wasn't like they didn't go because they're a bad football team. So I don't think it matters. Do you think it matters?
Nah, I mean, I don't think it mattered that much to Shad Khan at this point, considering, like you said, it was 83,000 people in the stadium. Ching-ching!
Yeah, and the next year they're taking the Cowboys are going there.
It's going to be a humdinger.
You know what, though? Marco, this league can change in an instant, and I'm a firm believer in that. Let's just say, for the sake of an argument, that they draft Mariota or Bridgewater, and they come in, and one of them is Andrew Luck-like. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, you look around and you say, no, wait a second. The quarterback's an athletic guy who can throw the football. The wide receivers are young and athletic. And, you know, you get Joko back. You sign some guys on the offensive line. And then next thing you know, all of a sudden on offense, you're pretty good, and you use all those draft picks to fix the defense.
Well, hey, man, you're putting it all in the hands of a rookie. We'll see how that goes.
Well, I know, but
they have so many holes right now. Well, I don't even think the first-round quarterback this year is going to be a significant enough difference to make that happen.
But they have money to spend. Let's not forget that.
Let's see what kind of money they're going to spend. They spent money to bring Roy Miller.
Well, a lot of those guys are on one-year. Those guys are on one-year deals.
That's what you're going to bring in.
But they did that purposely. You know why they did that?
Why?
Because they knew they weren't going to be any good. Just you got to have bodies. No, because you got to have bodies to play. And if you bring a guy in and he shows something for a year or two, then you re-sign him for a couple of years if he's going to be part of the nucleus. Now, I think Roy Miller's played himself out of that. I think Cedric Mark, you might keep it a low contract. But the rest of those guys, they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, but I understand that, Pete. But what about building a mindset and building a program? You got to have some building blocks. What were the building blocks for this season? Maybe you can say Joko, for what he's building.
Blackman will be going forward if he stays out of trouble. I think Shorts, he's a number. He's not.
Well, defensively,
one.
I want to go into this. Say defensively, the young safeties
Grotz. I think those guys will be the building blocks in the secondary.
What did they learn? What did they get out of this? One guy said
they're playing.
Yeah, but they're getting smacked. They're not learning how to win.
But that's okay. They learn how to play.
You got to learn how to win.
Would you rather? Okay, is it better off for a guy to learn how to play?
I want him to learn how to play to win.
Would you rather him sit on the sidelines and be part of a team that's
winning?
Wait, this is a good question. Would you rather have the young safety sitting on the sidelines watching a team go 8-8 or playing and being a part of a team that's not winning? It's better to play.
I'm not saying it's not better to play, but I want them to be in a situation where they're playing to win. Recognizing there will be young people, put them around veterans that are going to play to win. We got to teach them how. I mean, when you bring young guys into the league, it's they learn what's going on. The veterans around them, they don't know. You just got out of college. You don't know what the league is. This is what the league's about. Guys that are all hunky dory after a loss, they just accept losing.
Yeah, I don't get. I mean, I don't know if that's the case either because I'm not around them enough. Like I used to be around the team all the time when I was the beat guy.
Yeah,
but. You have to get guys to learn how to. You're right. They got to learn how to do the job. But that's okay. Puzlozny's in the middle of that defense. He's been around the league a long time. He should be able to.
When did he win? When has he won?
Well, it's not about learning. You got to. Not everybody comes from a winner.
You got to. Well, yeah. Not everyone. No, I understand that. You're right. They don't. But at the same time, you have to have some kind of winning way to.
That's why they pay the coach, Marco. Well, that's why the coach makes $3.5 million a year or whatever he makes.
I guess he's bringing from
Seattle. It's on the coach. On the coach.
Okay.
Great discussion here, fans. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate Snacks, Food, Drinks, and More. Stop by Gate today. We're going to start taking some calls here pretty quick. You can call us up, 355-NFL-1. Once again, the number 355-NFL-1. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with much more with Pete Prisco here, Marco Coleman from the HananiasAuto.com studio from Everbank Field. You are listening to News Talk WOKV now on 104.5 and on AM 690. And welcome back to Jaguars Monday. We are live once again from the HananiasAutos.com studio. I'm Jeremy Ratliff stepping in here for Brian Sexton for just one more show here. I'm joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco and, of course, Marco Coleman in the studio with me right now. If you want to give us a call at 355-NFL-1. Once again, that number is 355-NFL-1. And this portion of the show brought to you by PRI Productions. And, Marco, I had a question for you. We were watching the game from the studio yesterday, you and I. Were you surprised to see this team come out so flat?
I didn't think they came out flat. They just didn't match the physicality of what was brought to them. You know, that was what was surprising. And you know, in some of the positions, you would kind of would expect it because of youth. Mm-hmm. But again, I just can't get off of the front seven. I mean, I do think that the front for the offensive line and whatnot for San Francisco is better than Jacksonville going in. But the way that they, you know, like I said, the head coach mentioned it, just getting knocked off of blocks, not getting off of blocks, getting pushed back. I don't think they had a negative. Maybe I think Babin had one tackle for loss during the course of the game. Mm-hmm. So not a lot of negative plays. You know, the physicality, they didn't match it. They didn't fight back. So that was the thing I was surprised to see.
Yeah, I don't know if flat's the word because,
okay,
it's, you know, we get into these, and I'm not saying you do, but a lot of people say they're flat, they're lifeless. They're, you know, I mean, sometimes you're just not good enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you're not good enough, flat and lifeless and that shows up.
That's what
and
it looks like.
Not caring and everything else. So I just think San Francisco's on a different level from Jacksonville. But I'll say this. San Francisco about 4 years ago was on the same level as Jacksonville. And what did they do? They drafted and built that thing into something. They got tough. They got nasty. And that's where Jacksonville has to get to. They have to get tough and nasty. And for so long in this organization, I'm a big believer in this, they didn't draft nasty. I love nasty. I want violent, disgusting, animalistic players on Sunday.
Yeah, probably the last one was probably John Henderson, would you say? That was the last draft.
And sometimes I'm not so sure he was as nasty as he could be. You know what I mean?
But he's menacing.
He was huge. He had to be menacing. But Baselli was a nasty player. Leon Searcy back in the day played nasty.
Gary Walker
was, you know, he's a mean off-the-field guy, too. I used to get in there with him on a regular basis. But, nasty. You know what I'm talking about, Mark.
Stroud played with some tonight. I played with them. They were young players.
Yeah.
And they had it in them.
Brackens was nasty. Yeah. Darius was nasty on the field. Mm-hmm. He was a nasty player. I don't think he'd fit in nowadays with the way the game is.
When you're talking about physical, players that were physical, that were going to bring it to you, and they weren't going to back down. They might not have, like, early on, Stroud wasn't as good as some of the teams that we played. But this dude, he would fight. A second-year player, when I was here,
right,
it was my 10th season, his second season. And I said, yeah, he's a fighter. His technique is terrible, but he's going to fight you. You know, and it wasn't, that's what you didn't see.
Who's a nasty player that you play with, either in Miami or San Diego or wherever? Just a guy that, you know, Brian Cox was nasty.
Brian Cox was nasty. I tell you, a guy that I played against, offensive tackle for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Eric Williams.
Eric Williams.
He was nasty.
He was the nastiest guy I played in my whole entire life.
Yeah, and everybody said
he literally didn't know. It was no mystery. This is not going to be a football game. It's going to be a street fight.
And drafted the and drafted in the third round out of Central State.
Yeah.
And just a violent, nasty player. That's what's missing to me from this organization for a long time. When Tom was running things here, I used to joke around that he'd look at the media guy, the college player, and say, oh, he was a team captain, went to school and graduated, I'll draft him. But somehow, some way, he got nasty players, even though he did that. But they always look, you know what I'm talking about? They always put, and Gene was that same way, they always put a big emphasis on character. Now, I'm not saying you draft bad guys for the sake of drafting bad guys, but if I'm drafting guys, if a guy didn't go to school and get his degree, I don't care. I want him to play football. It's a football. It's not life you're drafting. You're drafting a football player. So draft nasty. And I think Dave Caldwell will draft nasty, and that's where they need to get to, because they're not nasty right now. They're nice.
Yeah, I was fortunate to play on 6 different teams. So you figure a lot of different locker rooms. So I didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but 3 championship games, lost them, AFC and NFC. So the teams that I was on that won, it was a lot of characters. You got to have a mixture of different people, some that are really good law-abiding citizens, and then some that you're really going to have to keep an eye on this guy. But the whole thing is having a coach that can corral all those attitudes together. You got to have a mixture. It can't just be all of this and all of that. I guess that balance to keep everything crazy.
Yeah, and I don't say right troublemakers. What I'm saying is, you said characters and toughness and nasty, but you do your job. You show up, but you do your job. You show up when it's time to go to work, and you work as hard as you possibly can till it's time to go home. If you have to do more when you go home, you do that too. But if you like to go out on a weekend and have a nice time or whatever, get out and about and have let off some steam, that's okay. Just the next day, you better be ready to show up and work and do it all over again. Mm-hmm. And if you have a personality, let it come out and bring it out. And I think Gus will let that come out eventually, but he just doesn't have – there's no – am I wrong about that?
Yeah, right
no
now.
Nasty.
And that's like you said, over the course of the next 3 years, we're going to watch him. Hopefully, it will develop – get players in here and get that all developed. Because all you need is really, you can have all kind of different guys, but they all got to have one thing in common. They all love football.
Right.
That's it.
And I'll tell you this, Marco. I was at the Atlanta-Seattle playoff game last year, and Gus was the coordinator of that defense. And I'll be honest with you, I thought at times they might have gone too far over that nastiness mm-hmm. ledge. Mm-hmm. And it led to some problems, some busted coverage, some penalties and that kind of things. But he allowed it to happen. So I know that's the kind of player he wants. You look at that Seattle mm-hmm. team, Sherman and those defensive linemen, Red Bryant's a beast. I mean, they got guys all over the place that'll hit you in the mouth and knock the snot out of you.
And I think the young players that they brought in, that Cyprian, Kratz, they have that. You saw it in the game. They weren't really – I didn't think in the secondary those young guys. They just didn't know. I mean, that's right. Why I chalk it up to them. They just it the stage was kind of big the first time, and you didn't have any good veteran leadership to help you along the way, so you're still trying to figure it out yourself. But I thought the young guys, they made a lot of mistakes, getting cut and coverage busts and things of that nature. But I think they brought it to them. They didn't back down from Bolden. I saw a couple of times when Cyprian lined up, man up on Vernon Davis. He was ready to go. He's like, I know I'm about to, it's going to be a tough, tall order, but I'm going to scratch and get it done however best way I can.
Yeah, see, and then you look at, like, Roy Miller last year, he played the nose for the Bucs, who was the number one run defense in the league. Now, they were last and pass, but Roy Miller, when I watched the tape last year, Roy Miller, he was a nasty guy. There's something got to be wrong with him. I know he fought injuries throughout the preseason, but if you put the tape on from last year against the Bucs, he's this big, giant guy, and he's
killing people.
Yeah, and now he's not.
And it's not just this week. This has been, several games. And it's all about, I think we talked about it, Pete. Winning individual battles, that's what it boils down to. And you got to win more of those than you lose. And like I said, along that front seven, the course of the last 8 games, those guys are losing more battles than they're winning.
All right, you can join in the conversation by calling 355-NFL-1. Once again, the number is 355-NFL-1. We got a couple callers on the line. We got Sonny and Sean. They want to talk quarterback, so we're going to talk quarterback, that position, as soon as we get back. We got a quick little break. We're going to be right back with much more of the show. An hour and a half left with Pete Prisco and Marco Coleman from the HananiaAutos.com studio from Everbank Field. You are listening to News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. And welcome back to Jaguars Monday. We are live from the HananiaAutos.com studio here at Everbank Field. I'm Jeremy Ratliff stepping in for Brian Sexton. He will be back on the show soon. I'm joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco. Also, Marco Coleman joining us in the studio right now. And real quick, this injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And actually, I had a look back to the last Jaguars injury report. I see it actually had Gabbert listed as probable. Blaine Gabbert, obviously he didn't play in that game Sunday with Chad Henne getting the start there. Now, Marco and Pete, Jason asking on Twitter just minutes ago if you guys see any quarterback change during the bye week.
I think they're going to go back to Gabbert at some point just to see what he can do with the full complement of receivers. But look, it doesn't matter. It's 6-1, half dozen the other. It's the young guy against the veteran. I just don't think there's any difference. It's their quarterback is not on the in 2014 is playing in college right now, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and as far as the change, like you said, it really doesn't make a significant difference. Why not go ahead and let our guy Denard Robinson do some?
He can't play quarterback. He didn't play quarterback in college.
Just do the Wildcat.
I mean, you do realize they benched him and moved him.
I like this. It's like one of those things where you know you have quarterbacks. Sometimes we play with two quarterbacks. One comes in and throw the ball. One runs it. Primarily in college, but when you just get in the red zone, throw Denard Robinson in there and just run.
Sweeps with him?
Yeah, take the quarterback out so you have an extra blocker.
See, you know what that does to me, though? You're gimmicking up something to try and win something. I get
but
it.
But you're utilizing but, your better
but you're
your
not,
athletes.
You're not teaching your wide receivers outside how to be wide receivers.
Well, sometimes
either.
Wide receivers have to block. I don't know if you noticed the arms on Anquan Boldin. You know, sometimes as a wide receiver, if you want to win, you're going to have to block.
Well, I think that – but. Blocking is a want to. It's not a teaching. I think learning how to be a receiver and reading on the run and stepping into zones and finding soft spots in zones.
It's all got it. You know, well,
they're not playing for this year, Marco. You know
I understand. I mean, but this, you know, we all want to see something done to make keep it interesting, though. I mean, it's not out of the question to just say, hey, we want to win a game, and it does make sense to not necessarily every time you get in the red zone, but have that. Denard Robinson, take the quarterback out, extra blocker. And run a sweep.
Yeah, I don't mind that, but not. I don't know. I just think you're in some situations
that's,
like
that's
that.
That's got to be even a package, a part of the deal.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that? I mean, matter of fact, I believe in the preseason,
his head is spinning. He's
you
learned
give him
too many
three
positions.
Plays.
Yeah, but he learned too many positions. He's got to learn to be a running back.
You get
catch
Denard
the ball
Robinson
out of the backfield in a conventional offense.
We have the Denard package, three plays, and I saw we practiced the whole deal. Just
again,
three plays. And we may not even run these three plays, but all Denard will know. Is you got these three plays, son, and you've perfected them. I haven't asked you to do anything else.
But he's trying to become a running back.
Man, I don't buy that. He's not a running back.
Well, they think
was
he
a running back in, like, high school?
They think he – no, he was a quarterback at Deerfield Beach with Jason Pierre-Paul.
Man,
one
you
of his
got
teammates.
Guys, like – you got to be bred to be a running back, man, because at some point – unless you're going to – you know, because he's not an inside the tackle runner.
You can't
make that. Like I said, want to. You got to want to run up in there like that when you got Patrick Willis sitting there ready to knock your block off.
Here's the thing. Anything they do this year is not about this year. It's about 2015.
Well, so what you're saying in 2015, Denard Robinson is going to be an inside the tackle runner?
If he's not, then they drafted the wrong guy.
Oh, yeah, just trying to toughen him up
no,
a little bit.
No, it's not he's going to be inside the tackle runner, but screen game, swing passes. Yeah.
Well, we haven't done that.
No, they haven't.
Like I said, three plays. Give me three plays. That's what I'm saying. They give him three plays. Give him a screen, a run, and maybe one pass.
I think his head's spinning.
Now, before we take some...
I do. That's what I've been told.
That's what I said. You only gave me three plays, man.
Well, that's...
I played with some people that, you know...
Names?
I don't want to call them out.
Come
man,
on, okay? Man.
About as bright as a bag of rocks, man.
Let's give
you.
Me names. Couldn't remember the playbook, huh?
The playbook. I mean, right or left.
Now, before we take some... we got some callers here calling about the wanting to talk quarterback here. What about Chad Henne's play yesterday? What's your take on that before we move on with this?
It was Chad Henne. I mean, I can say one thing. He didn't get sacked, and I thought he was a very sackable quarterback. I was looking for him to not make it through the game, to be honest with you, before it started.
Really?
But they kept him pretty clean. You know, the pass plays that they called, real short passes, but at the end of the game, when he did drop back, They did a good job of keeping him from
getting
hit.
San Francisco's a different pass rushing team without Alden Smith, though.
But
you got to give him credit. They kept him clean.
And he got rid of the ball. He
That's
some,
what he does,
bad,
though.
Yeah, he had some bad throws. He was inconsistent at throwing the ball, and he doesn't give you the element. He can't scramble. He has no real good pocket awareness. So, he was just being himself. It was just a normal Henny day.
He is what he is.
It was just a normal Henny day.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls. We got a patient caller here. Sonny is calling in from Arlington. Sonny, welcome to the show. What do you got?
How are you guys doing tonight? Yeah, guys are talking about the quarterbacks coming out in the draft. And I'm just curious if, in particular, if Pete thinks that these guys are Andrew Luck-type quarterbacks or not. I mean, are they difference makers? I mean, I think Teddy Bridgewater is very accurate. He looks kind of smallish to me. And Mariota is an unbelievable athlete. I just don't know if he's a pocket passer or not. But they seem great to me. But are they Andrew Luck-type guys?
Well, Andrew Luck is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of guy. I mean, if you're going to ask me, is Russell Wilson Andrew Luck? No. Is Colin Kaepernick Andrew Luck? No. Is RG3 Andrew Luck? No. So are they Andrew Luck? I don't think so. Can they be one of those other guys? Yeah. And, in fact, if you want to make comparisons, I would sit here and say that Mariota might be Kaepernick, but maybe even more accurate and a better passer. So, I know his accuracy numbers aren't great, but I think a lot of that has to do with the system and how they play. But I think Mariota has a chance to be special. My concern with Mariota is he's 20 years old. He won't be 21 until after next season starts. So that's a concern. He's a bright kid. He's going to graduate already. He's a smart kid. He supposedly loves the game of football, puts the work in. That's what you want. Bridgewater to me, and again, I haven't studied them all on tape yet, and I will at some point before the draft, but Bridgewater to me is I'm not wowed by him. I like him. I think he's got a good arm. He's got a command of the offense. He's small. When you look at him, you say, oh, boy, not a big guy, but he looks like he weighs 190. And, the reports are he's 190, 195 pounds. That's a small guy in the NFL for a pocket passer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been worried about because he's pretty accurate, but it looks like he gets sacked lines and those shoulders are snapping.
I'll say this. The kid from UCLA has turned me off a little bit in the last couple weeks, and some people think he's going to be he might have a chance to be number one. They talk about a big, strong, physical kid who's got a good arm. He's been sacked. He's been sacked more than any quarterback in the country in the last couple of years. That's a concern of mine.
He also doesn't seem very accurate to me.
No,
either.
I like Mariota. Of the three right now, my lean would be to Mariota, and I don't like running quarterbacks.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, thank you very much for the call there. That was Sonny calling in from Arlington. Let's take another quick caller here before the break. We got Nicholas calling in from the West Side. Nicholas, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. What do you think the future is for Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert with the Jags? Are they going to get traded or are they going to get cut?
I think Gabbert will be back next year because you're under contract. You might as well just keep him around as a backup. I think Henne's done. I think he's playing. He's gone. But I think Gabbert might be back because he's under contract. I mean, there's no guarantee. What if they drafted one quarterback at one and drafted another one in the fifth round or fourth round or something? You know what I mean? What just said to you, but I still think you got to have somebody around. What do you think?
It's going to be a competition in the summer. I think you'll have Henne, Gabbert, and some young guy that's going to be drafted that legitimately will work for number two. You may have, I don't know if you're going to have three. You think keep three quarterbacks when you have a rookie quarterback? You may need to keep three.
Well, whoever you draft first, he's playing.
Oh, yeah.
Right
All
away.
Day. Yeah.
Right away. Has to be.
All day.
All right. Thank you very much for the call there. That was Nicholas calling in from the West Side tonight at 7 on CBS 47. Make sure to join Jeff Loggeman and Brett Martineau for Jaguars All Access. You can join us by calling 355-NFL1. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with much more with Pete Briscoe and Marco Coleman from the HananiaAutos.com studio from Everbank Field. You are listening to News Talk WOKV now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Well, welcome back to Jaguars Monday. We are live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. I'm Jeremy Ratliff stepping in here for Brian Sexton, and I'm joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Briscoe in the studio with me right now. Also, Marco Coleman here. And we're talking about the Jags' loss, the Jags in London, the Jags' future. We're going into a bye week here and getting a lot of questions, a lot of phone calls, to say the least, here. John asking me on Twitter just minutes ago, why are the Jaguars having so much trouble stopping the run? Well, Marco and Pete, you want to try to answer that for John?
Well, they're not very good in the middle of their defense. I mean, that's reason number one. I'll be honest with you. I was a little surprised that they aren't, because I thought Roy Miller played well last year in Tampa. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played well here. And, this is a question that needs to be answered. Should they have kept Pot Roast?
Because he's laying a roast on people.
Did you see him do the sack yesterday, RG3?
Yeah, but, it goes to what you mentioned, nastiness. It's just there isn't any up front on a consistent basis. You've seen flashes. Like Cedric Marks, I think he's flashed, over the course of these last 8 weeks. But, those guys just consistently winning their battles, they just don't do it enough. There's just not a high percentage of wins versus other guys.
Right, and that's a want to be a good run defense. You have to have nastiness and you have to have ability. You got to get off blocks. You can't get blocked. You got to win your one-on-ones.
You got to win. You got to get off a block.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a call here. We got Johnny calling in from the South Side. He's got a question for Pete. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Prisco, glad you're back on the air. And I got a question about Caldwell. Do you guys still feel strongly about Caldwell? And if you were Caldwell and the Jaguars had the first pick of the draft, would you trade down a couple spots? Thanks, I'll take it off the air.
If I had the first pick and I had a conviction on the quarterback that I liked, whether it's Mariota or Bridgewater or whoever, I pick him. If I think there's a close decision on the two quarterbacks and I can get one and move back about four or five spots and get extra picks, then I'd move back. But I think they're in a situation where they have to get that guy. Get him. Don't risk not – if you have a belief in that guy, you get him. As far as Caldwell, look, his first draft, all you can evaluate him on is his first draft. The bodies they brought in this year were just – I told you this before. They're just guys to get in there and fill the roster and see what they can do. If they did anything, then you keep them for the when the process really is in the building stages, which, next year and year three. But as far as the first draft, if you look at his class, Jokel's going to be a good player. Hey, the guy the Chiefs picked, Eric Fisher, with the first overall pick, he's struggling like crazy. Jokel was settling in to be a good football player. I think that the young safeties, good picks. Mm-hmm. Grotz has the look about him. And maybe he's been hurt, so he hadn't played as much, but he's got that look about him. So you look at his draft, Ace Sanders, to me, little, that's a problem. He's, physically he's getting – but in the long run, I think Ace Sanders will get an off-season program, training, will end up being a punt returner and a guy that you can spot.
You got to get a defense that can force the other team to punt
first. Right. And then Denard, that was a luxury pick. We'll see how that works out, but that's a luxury pick. I think all in all, I think you got to give Dave's good – it was a good first draft.
It was a good draft. I mean, I agree. I agree 100%.
But, we'll see if he can do it again, because it's not about one draft. It's about two and three.
And selecting some veterans.
Right.
And some offseason. I mean, you can't do it with just all young guys. No. It's got to be sprinkled with some.
And next year they have money, and there's a free agent class. You look at some guys, you want nastiness. That's what you want.
You don't want old,
Not broken down old name guys. Like you
just
want
on an upswing.
Upswing, like 26, 27-year-old guy who's on the upswing, so in 2015, he's 29. He's the veteran that everybody looks at.
Somebody you got to pay for. You're not going. Right. You're not going. It's not going to come cheap.
Right.
We just hope you don't get. Just don't. He main. Well, like I said, he has to be on the upswing.
Right. A 26, 27-year-old guy who is ready to play and cash, and once he gets the money, he's not going to change either.
Right.
You've seen those guys before.
Yes, I think we're witnessing it.
Now at 0-8, the Jaguars rolling into their bye week here, guys. This may not be easy to do, but kind of taking a step back, looking at the season so far, what are some positives that you see with this young team right now if you're evaluating how they've
They haven't won yet, so they're going to have the number one pick. There's a positive. I mean, I'm in the minority on that, and I know the fans don't want to hear that, but for the long-term viability of the franchise, it's better not to win a game. It really is. Now, you want to win, and I know the players, when you take the field, you want to win. The coaches, they want to win. But put that aside. Just think about the long – you're going to have the number one pick in the draft, the number one pick. It's on you. It's your decision. You will have a choice between the best quarterbacks available to fix your team. Because this is, again, it's a quarterback league. Yeah, look, we saw that last night, didn't we? Did you watch the Packers last night?
I saw that, man.
Who's he throwing to?
I mean, I understand how it helps your team, but losing is not good to continue to do, man. This team hasn't won in a long time. What you have is you just create a culture that losing is
so
good,
one win
cool.
Will one win will change the culture?
A couple of wins, yeah, I think it would, man. I mean, it would, you know, depends on when it is, because one, a lot of time, feeds into another. I really think, you know, in the latter part of this schedule, that three home game stretch, I'm calling two wins.
You're out of your mind. But if they get one and still get the first pick, that's a good year.
That's good. I think with two wins they'll still get the first pick.
That would be good too for them, because then you get your two wins that you think will change the culture and they'll get the number one draft.
I'm not saying that two wins are going to change the culture. But you need to have these young guys see what it feels like. They haven't won a preseason game. They have not won nothing. You know what I mean? So let these young guys, they need to understand, okay, this is what we did. And because right now what they're saying is, look, all this work we do, this preparation, it keeps resulting in the zero. And I'm looking at these guys have been playing for 5, 6, 10, 14 years, and they just come to work like it's, you know, I mean, some of them probably pissed off. I'm used to winning. They're, you know, been in University of Florida, you know. But this is a whole different league. They need to win a game, man. I don't think that's good.
Well, I mean, I know they want to win a game.
They got to win, man.
But I don't think for the long-term success. Better to have number one pick.
Yeah, you want that too. But I think with a couple wins, they need to get a win. Mm-hmm. You got to get a win. You can't just – come on, man. That's not a good
thing. Well, I mean,
just lose
if
they pick,
get
a,
if they can get a win and still get the first pick, that's a win-win. That's a win-win.
Now, you can join the conversation by calling us right now at 355-NFL-1. Once again, it is 355-NFL-1. Let's take another caller here. We got quite a few during the show. We got Joe calling right now. Joe, welcome to the show. What's your comment or question here?
This is Joe. Are you talking to me?
Yeah. You're on the air, Joe. What's your question or comment?
Okay. It's Jim, not Joe. But that's
okay. Oh, it is Jim, not Joe. Sorry about that, Jim.
That's okay. I've got a little bit of a prefix here, but it'll make it quick.
Okay.
You look at how San Francisco's built. They got three number ones offensive linemen. What would be the advantage to us, taking the contrarian point of view, going ahead and picking some more good offensive and defensive linemen, especially a pass rusher, and then going for maybe Johnny Football a year after next?
Well, Johnny Football will be in this draft because he's coming out, so he'll be in the draft. Look, I get.
Really?
Yeah, he's a redshirt sophomore. He's out. Do you think he's staying around school? The guy goes out and signs autographs for money. He's not staying around school. He's out. He'll be in this draft. But to answer your question, drafting another offensive lineman, I don't buy it. Because here's why: the 49ers, you take away Kaepernick off that team and stick that same offensive line in there, they're still not going to be a good football team. You got to have the quarterback. Look at the Packers' offensive line. They got three guys off the street starting on the offensive line, but Rodgers makes them look good because he moves around. It's all about quarterback. So, no. Answer your question, absolutely not.
Well, how about Johnny Football? Do you like him with the other three?
You know, I'm intrigued by Johnny Football, but I wouldn't take him at the first pick. No, I take Mariota's bigger version of Johnny Football. He's a bigger version of him. Have you watched Mariota play?
Sure would be, yeah, I have. And they both would be fun to watch, but I think Johnny would be more fun to watch.
What? But why would you say that? He's smaller. He doesn't have as good. He has a good arm, but his arm is no better than Mariota's. Why would you take the smaller guy?
He just seems to be more football savvy and active. And I think he's a great conversion to a pocket.
Yeah. Well, then there's also then there's the knucklehead factor. You know, that's always a factor when you've got a quarterback who. You know, we've seen number one picks who come in and think they're the end of the world and end up busting out. We've mentioned one before, Jamarcus Russell.
That's one thing that does scare me as well. Right. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think people are going to start staying away.
Thanks for making my call, guys.
All right, man.
Show.
I think they're going to start staying away from those smaller, you know, quarterbacks like Vic, Johnny Manziel,
Russell Wilson.
Griffin. Hey. No, I'm talking about as far as small in stature. Now, Russell Wilson came and said he was just short, but he wasn't a small guy.
Well, I'll tell you this about Russell Wilson, and I know you got to go to break, but I studied him last week a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you keep him on the spot, different animal now.
Really, you know, let him have to look over.
Because when he gets
guys.
Out, and I can't believe people blitz him all the time and play man. Because once he gets outside, they got their back to him. He runs, and then the scramble play. I'd keep him in the pocket.
Just make him stay. Have to look over those
he's
six,
little.
Seven guys.
He's little.
Yeah, I mean, he's short. He's not right. little. Because right. I'm talking, you know, like Vic. These guys keep on getting hurt.
Right.
You know, and you got to have a guy that's got some stature.
All right, Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, and Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. You can join in the conversation here by calling us up at 355-NFL-1. Once again, that is 355-NFL-1. We're going to take a quick little break. We'll be right back with much more with Pete Prisco and Marco Coleman from the HananiaAutos.com studio here at Everbank Field. We got a lot more to talk about. You are listening to Deuce Talk WOKV now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Hey, welcome back to Jaguars Monday. We are live once again here from the HananiaAutos.com studio. I'm Jeremy Ratliff, just filling the spot here for Brian Sexton this evening. I'm joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco and, of course, Marco Coleman in the studio with us right now. The number to call, 355-NFL-1 if you have a question. Once again, that number, 355-NFL-1. Question, comment, whatever you got for us. Now, the second thing on the list of the big three things you need to know this Monday evening at 0-8, the Jaguars rolling into their bye week. And Marco and Pete, how important is this bye week right now for the Jaguars, the way they've been playing?
Well, I think for a young team, it's important, don't you, Marco?
Yeah, I mean they get a chance to take a quick break. I mean, is that a really good time, especially, for, like you said, for the young guys?
But not just the break, but I think sometimes you got to step back and do some self-evaluation, and step back and say, okay, we wanted to do this year. That's what the coaches will say, and then they'll look at it and say, okay, first 8 weeks, we tried to do that. You can't. So go back and self-scout yourself, and then from a player standpoint, go back and realize, look, this is what the NFL is. I'm in week 8 now. My college season will be ending in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And go take some time, you know, regroup, get away from it for a little bit, and then come back and say, okay, now I make my push. I know what I have to do in the second. You know, because their heads, I don't care what anybody, you know, you're mm-hmm. in the league. Your heads are spinning. You're a secondary player as a rookie. Right. Your heads are spinning.
Yeah, and I'm sure, because Bradley wants to win a football game. And not just self, you know, when you talk about self-evaluation, I'm sure that's something that's going to take place himself to figure out how can he get a win, you know, and because there's some winnable games. And if you don't change the mindset of what's going on, it's got to be an adjustment that takes place over the course of this break. I don't know how he'll come differently or whatever, but what's been taking place, you know what's the old analogy? You keep on doing something and continue to get the same results, it makes you a little – You know how it makes you seem like stupid, right?
Right.
So some stuff needs to be changed. What's going to be the changes necessary to stop what's occurring? Maybe individuals leaving. You know, it's time off for Caldwell, too. You know, he can let some people go, bring some people in. Why not? A lot of time for people to try out.
Workouts. Well, they've had a – they've brought
You can really be devoted. He's been gone for what? A week, a lot of time off. You figure also the time out there. I don't know if they had some guys still work out when they were in California or not. But it gives you a lot of time to do even more evaluation.
Yeah, so. I think it's a good – it comes at a good time.
Real
it really
good time.
Does. Plus, it's Florida Georgia week, so you don't have to get in the middle of that mess.
Got a little distraction.
Now, Pete, do you think we could see this team making any moves with the trade deadline looming from your perspective?
I mean, we mentioned Babin last week, and we joked about it before. You know, his name has come up. The team might be looking for a pass rusher, and I'm trying to figure out, really? There's a pass rusher there? I don't see it. I wouldn't trade for him. Would you if you were a team looking for a veteran pass rusher, would you trade for Babin?
I mean, I would want to get somebody to have some sacks. I don't think he would have two sacks. Nah, I
no.
mean, he's not. And what would it do for the team right now? What sense does it make for
Well, you get extra draft
Caldwell?
Picks. You get extra draft picks. And they want draft picks. But and
well, who's going to get
Mercedes,
you a bunch of draft picks?
There would be a guy that I would consider moving. He's got a big contract. He's not what you want in a tight end in the current NFL. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Graham's what you want at tight end. If you want a blocking tight end, ideally what you'd like is a Jimmy Graham, and then you have a extra lineman come in and block on, you know what I mean?
That's what
the Saints
see.
Do a lot of.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of teams.
So where's Mercedes worth the money? I don't see it. I've never seen it. When he came out, of UCLA.
He had the one season, you know, with the
10 touchdowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I mean, yeah, it was
that was before
season.
He got paid, wasn't it?
That was before he got paid.
I mean, I'm not saying Mercedes. I just that style of type. When he came out of UCLA, he was projected to be he was a move tight end, a guy that they flexed out, and he got in one-on-one matchups. He was a lot lighter, and he was the guy you thought would be a Jimmy Graham type of tight end. Well, then he got here, and Jack was always a big, bad, run the ball, and they bulked him up, and he became a good blocking tight end, which he didn't do at UCLA, and now he's – what is he?
Yeah,
Wouldn't you move him? But who would want him? What are you going to get for him?
You got to stay healthy. I mean, you know, that's the biggest thing, too. I don't know, maybe the size, whatever the case, maybe the extra working out, the bulk. He stays on the injury. He stays in the tub. You know, the past couple of seasons, he hasn't been available to see what he has. You know, so
he has bad quarterback play, so that's not going to help him either.
But then you got to target him. You know, you figure he only had maybe one pass thrown at him during the course of the game. He fumbled, but at the same time, you don't just throw the ball one time to Mr. Graham. You don't throw the ball one time to Mr. Gonzalez.
But he's not Mr. Graham or Gonzalez.
But they get attempts, man.
If you were a team looking for a tight end help, what would you give up for him?
For him, you know,
he's got a big salary now.
Right, so it had to be, you know, I would say, you know, three or four.
If he could get a four for him, I'd move him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's the only. Maurice,
because I think if you have Mercedes health, it depends on what these guys want to do.
What about Maurice?
Maurice, as far as trading him or staying, I don't know, man. I think that you got to keep something here. He's a record holder with the team. Give him one more year.
Well, he's not under contract.
Oh, he's going to be a free agent,
right? So,
you might as well wait till.
But who's going to trade for Maurice? That's what I'm asking. Like, there's not a team that's going to trade picks for an aging running back. It just doesn't happen anymore.
I wouldn't think that's necessary.
So, no. To answer their question, I don't think they'll make any moves.
Now, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, or if you got a question for Pete or Marco, give us a shout here. 355-NFL1. Once again, the number 355-NFL1. And Marco, what does from the perspective of a former player here, what does a team like the Jaguars need to do to prepare for a divisional game on the road in Tennessee, looking ahead after this bye week?
Well, you figure during the course of this bye week, I think that Gus Bradley is going to have some conversations with the entire team about physicality.
Yep.
Because you're going to go away to play a divisional team. Those are usually games that'll get nasty. So you got to bring some nasty. So you got to be a little bit more nasty especially when you're visiting. So at this point, you know, they have to start working on an attitude, an identity, whether it be offense, defensively, something that's centered around physicality. So that work has to be done for them to
Tennessee went out and spent money on Andy Levitre, a guard who's physical. They went out and drafted Warmack, a guard in the first round who's physical. Their two tackles, Stewart and Bruce, are physical. So they're going to want to move people off the line of scrimmage. And defensively, Jarrell Casey, the defensive tackle, is having a heck of a season. They have a lot of physical guys on the other side of the ball. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a team. You want to see more toughness up front, you're going
to
see it.
They're going to have to stand on that. What happens between – I'm sure he made mention in the in the clip that you played that it's about the physicality. He's talking about tackling. He's talking about getting cut, getting off of blocks, you know, in so many words. He's saying you guys were very soft, you know. Regardless of these guys being the Super Bowl champion, contenders, you can still man up. And that
wasn't
done.
Those are the words you can say. There are other words you can use that you can't say.
Oh, boy. I'm sure he wanted to say some stuff.
Yeah,
because, I mean, it was obvious, man. You know,
he wasn't happy. That's one of the – toughness is – when you get your toughness questioned by your head coach, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And those are toughness things he's saying we got to get corrected. Tackling, because that's a want-to deal. Getting cut off your feet, that's a willingness to want to stay on your feet. These are all want-to things.
I agree. They got to be tougher.
Now, do you think this is a winnable game for the Jaguars?
Tennessee? At Tennessee.
Yep.
It is a winnable game because Tennessee will make mistakes. I don't know what the situation is with Locker. You know what much
He's
about.
Back.
Locker's back. It's going to be a tough win, a tough game, you know, because Tennessee has been a very competitive football team all season long.
And physically, they went up at Pittsburgh opening day and out-physicaled the Steelers, which you don't usually do.
Mm-hmm.
As bad as the Steelers are, that's one thing they can still do.
It's going to be a game to where, you know, if you don't bring your big boy pads, it won't happen. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. And they're not going to back down while they're at home, that's
right,
for sure.
Right.
All right, the number to call, 355-NFL1. If you have a question or a comment, if you want to weigh in on the conversation we are having here, 355-NFL1. Let's go ahead and take a patient caller here. We got Joey. Joey is calling from St. John's County. Joey, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Hey, Pete, Marco. Just a quick scenario. I'm going to run by you and see what you think. if you have the number one pick going into next year, what about a scenario like this? What about trying to sign Ryan Mallett, taking Clowney, and then in like your second or third round, going with a guy like a McCarron or a Connor Shaw or something like that?
Well, Mallett's under contract, so you'd have to trade for him. And to me, I don't think.
I thought his contract was up this year.
Well, he's only been. This is his third year, right? So he can't. He's
no,
not.
This is his fourth year.
Is it his fourth? No. Is it? I gotta look. Yeah. I got him right here. But would I? No. Mallett? No. They got to get their guy. That's somebody else's guy. Enough of that. You
this
know
is
what I mean?
The new face of the franchise.
But and as far as Clowney, has Clowney played to the level of being the guy you'd take with the first overall pick?
No. Nah.
Well, I mean, I think of anybody that's in the draft, that guy is the one surefire hit. I mean, I don't think you can lose with him.
Well, I don't know. Because, look, I understand what he's done this year. He took the season off, right?
Yeah, that says a lot about it. You know what I mean?
This is Mallett's third year, by the way, so he's not eligible for free agency. But when you talk about Clowney, he took the season off. I can't fault him. He's protected himself. That's his value. Is his body.
Yeah. So now you know. So if when you get paid a bunch of money, is that what you're going to do all of a sudden? Protect your body. So no, I mean, those are the kind of questions that the scouts would have now for him. And so that goes right in.
There's
in
some
line
people
with
that think the kid at UCLA, Anthony Barr, is a better pass rusher. So you know, maybe
I've seen several players out there that are playing with a lot more energy.
But if you
consistently,
to answer your question, if you have a conviction on the quarterback, you pick him. He's your guy. If you don't, you have a problem. Okay. And we were just talking about McCarron. I like McCarron, but I wouldn't draft McCarron first. But somebody's going to get a good football player in McCarron because he's a smart, accurate quarterback.
I like McCarron. I would pick McCarron first because you know he's not the flashy guy, but I think he's the most mature. I think he's the most adept to be able to come in and do something similar to what you see with Andrew Luck.
Whoa! Slow
I said
down.
Similar. I said similar.
Slow down over there.
Similar because Andrew Luck had, you know, had a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Andrew Luck also had, you know, a couple guys on the other side on the defense that had Super Bowl rings and were Pro Bowlers. He's not coming to that kind of situation because he's not going to be surrounded with those guys.
But you got to remember about McCarron. McCarron's got the best players in front of him, the best players around him, the best players outside. I mean, he's played
and
with.
Guess what
think
he's
about
doing.
His running backs.
But, and guess what he's doing? He's leading them.
I know, but.
He's leading some of the best players.
But what happens when you don't
leading,
have
He's leading NFL players
but
right
what happens
now.
When you don't have them?
He will. He's going to have NFL players. He's coming to a legitimate NFL team.
See, I don't know if he can carry it.
I think so.
I like him, but I don't know if he can carry it.
I think so. If he can play 4 years for Nick Saban, I think he's okay.
You do that, you're okay.
All right, Joey from St. Johns County, thank you very much for the call there. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars Ford. Go farther. You can join the discussion here. 355-NFL-1 is what you want to call. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with much more with Pete Prisco and Marco Coleman from the HananiaAutos.com studio from Everbank Field. You are listening to News Talk WOKV. And welcome back to Jaguars Monday. We are live from HananiasAutos.com studio. I'm Jeremy Ratliff stepping in here for Brian Sexton. I'm joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco and, of course, Marco Coleman in the studio. Feel free to join our discussion. If you got a question, comment, whatever you got, give us a shout here. 355-NFL-1. Once again, that number 355-NFL-1. Well, definitely a wild weekend of football, to say the least.
Second down and 10. On the slant, here is Calvin Johnson. He's going. Calvin Johnson being chased by four Cowboys. Inside the 10 and knocked out of bounds at about the 2 or 3. It was Jeff Heath who did it. 87 yards for Calvin Johnson and breezed by the Dallas defense.
All right, time to have a little fun here, guys. That courtesy of Fox Sports. A great game in Detroit yesterday involving the Cowboys and Lions. That game going right down to the final whistle there. Time now for the Copy Facts face-off. Now, if you were watching the game on TV, you saw that fiery discussion between Jason Witten and Dez Bryant on the Cowboys sideline, and a lot of talk about Dez Bryant after that game. Marco, Pete, was Bryant out of line or just passionate in that scenario?
What do you think? I thought he was just passionate. I didn't think it was in the heat of the game. You know, sometimes you just get a little out of control. I mean, that just happens, you know, when you are a passionate player. Now, you just don't know what they're saying and what prompted it. You know, it's kind of hard to give a real strong opinion if he's wrong, if you don't know what was really going on. What you think, Pete?
As Tony Boselli usually gets in his seat, you are entitled to your wrong opinion. He went overboard. Whatever it was, you don't show up a teammate or teammates in that situation. Look, we know wide receivers, and you've played with many of them, who are childish, selfish, want the football, complain about it. And there were guys here, believe me, over the years who would they'd be happier when they had 7 catches for 120 and lost than when they had 1 for 15 in a game that they won. You know what I mean? That's how receivers – that's their fiber. That's who they are.
It's offensive players, yeah, most
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, so,
But at the same time, Pete, let me tell you, personal experience.
Okay.
Okay? This is before all the cameras and everybody just got a camera in every angle. You just can't get away with doing nothing. Don Shula, Dan Marino. I mean, they argue loud. People hold them apart. Next thing you know, 2 plays later, touchdown. You know, Dan Marino – Mark Clayton, Duper. I mean, that is my experience from being on the sideline as a rookie, seeing these guys. They're literally holding people apart. The next thing you know, a couple plays later, touchdown.
Oh, I
mean,
get
so,
it.
You know,
I get it.
In the heat of the moment, when you're really into what you're doing, it's either you're a man or a mouse. Either man. I mean, I saw the clip, and I saw Witten pointing someplace trying to explain his deal. But obviously, whatever that Dez Bryant had on his heart to say, he meant that, and he wanted to make sure that everybody
else. That was the second one. You didn't see the first one earlier in the game. He went after the coach and Romo, screaming at him and everything else. So, okay, fine. You're not getting the ball. You're unhappy. You lose, you're unhappy. But then Witten and him got into it, and then that was the end of it. Leave it alone, and he continued yapping. And DeMarcus Ware, who you saw him, he grabbed him by the back of the neck almost.
Hey, man, that just happens. That's a family.
Yeah,
that's
know,
what happens with a family. Yeah, sometimes you have to have, we talked about it
you
earlier,
ever have one with
that
players?
Dysfunction.
Yeah, did you ever have
one? Yeah. I mean, matter of fact, I'll tell you, my last game of my career, we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship game. I'm pissed off because, you know, Roethlisberger's a rookie. They're going up, the bus is running. I'm like, man, what the heck is going on? They were taking me out. By the way, they wouldn't let me play third down. That was a big problem. I couldn't pass rush. But I was stopping them on first down, but they kept getting converting. So I'm yelling, let's get something done. So me and Al. Al's last name? But this is starting a linebacker
Wilson.
For me, Al Wilson. We're arguing, you know. Then Al said, "Well, you do something. You make a play. I'm gonna make a play." You know, that was the exchange. Next thing you know, I get a tackle for a loss. And he comes to the sidelines. How did you get back there so fast? You know what I mean? But that was it. You know, and some players had to get between Al and I. You know, because I was calling everyone out.
Okay, but once in a game, but not this twice in sideline. And plus, you didn't have a reputation for being a hothead. If you got into it on the field, there was something that was igniting the situation. You weren't igniting it. Al Wilson probably irritated you,
yeah.
So you fired back at him. Dez Bryant has the baggage to go with it. So when something like this happens, it magnified a little bit.
Right.
So
I agree.
I don't mind the passion.
I agree with that.
I'm with you on the passion. I love the passion. I mean, because you once you get between the white lines, you know, because you played. Once you get between the white lines, you could turn into whatever crazy.
And that's my issue with the Jaguars. Like I said, it has its time and place. People say, "Oh, you know, I've heard comments from Mercedes, from Reese, even from Brad saying all that yelling is just not necessary." Whatever. I just want to see somebody passionate enough that gives enough a darn enough to we
fire in the belly.
Yes,
fire in the belly.
That this bothers you. You know, I mean, this team is not bad enough to be 0-8 right now. I think, you know, it could have. Oakland is a team. They had a good enough roster to beat Oakland. And St. Louis also. They could have beat those two teams. But they played bad. They lost to those teams. They wasn't that they actually.
Oakland's gone and won a couple, beat Pittsburgh.
But
yesterday,
they went out there, man, and they looked terrible.
Yeah.
Same thing with the St. Louis Rams. They just beat them.
They're not a good football team. But firing your belly, you know, screaming on the sidelines, I don't, once in a while it's okay. Dez Bryant has a pattern of it. And Jason Witten, once he tells you he's a veteran, he's been around the league for whatever, shut up and pay it. Then shut up. Don't carry it out. And then DeMarcus Ware comes over, who's been around the league and is arguably the best pass rusher in the National Football League, and he tells you to shut up and you keep going, shut up. I agree. There's a place for that.
Yeah,
but you can go past and over. He went over.
You know, at times you can. As long as it's not a distraction.
Right.
You know,
it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But the game was over by that time anyway.
It was
now,
a wrap.
Now, looking at the game itself, how big of a win was that for the Lions in that that division as they're trying to keep stride with the Packers?
Huge. Mm-hmm. Huge. And I'll say this. If people were talking about Monty Kiffin being defensive coordinator of the year or whatever, because he's done a great job with the Cowboys. I mean, they gave up a ton of yards. They got hurt, and he went to Philadelphia, and they mm-hmm. would have won that. Please. You can't let Matt Stafford go 80 yards or whatever with no timeouts and beat you that way. That's a bad loss for the Cowboys. A bad loss for the mm-hmm. Cowboys, but a huge win for the Lions. And to be able to do what they did, that could be the game that propels you to keep going. And I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you, but when you have Calvin Johnson, and you just throw it up to him and let him go get it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a better wide receiver in football than Calvin Johnson?
No.
Right?
No. I think where'd he go to school?
He's a Yellow Jacket, and you know it, baby. That's hey.
No, there is not. Indeed. And Dez Bryant, that was part of the whole thing with Dez Bryant last week. Remember, he was trying to say he was in that class, and that's why I think a lot mm-hmm. of that boiled over. He only got thrown to one time in the first half, which, truth be known, if you're only throwing the ball to Dez Bryant one time in the first half, he should be screaming at the quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Detroit, they had a pretty reasonable schedule, too. They mm-hmm. go to Chicago, they're welling, Pittsburgh, Tampa, you know, before they see Green Bay again. So,
but again, you can't say, well, they're that good that they're going to win those games. You know what I mean? You go to Pittsburgh, they're not that good, the Lions. They're not.
You think so?
But they're fun to watch, that's for sure.
All right, let's go ahead and take a few calls here. We got Joe calling in from Arlington, I believe. Joe, welcome to the show. What's your question or comment?
All right. We got trade deadline coming up tomorrow. And in my opinion, if we don't trade for any kind of quarterback, we have just laid down and accept the fact that we're going to go no wins and have the first draft pick.
Right. That's what they want to do. That's what you do. That's what you do. Who are they trading for?
That's what you do. You play to win.
Who are you trading for? Give me a name.
Pardon me?
Give me a name. Who are you trading for?
Who did I play for?
No, who are you trading?
I can't. Anybody.
No.
We have no quarterbacks out there.
Right.
We don't have a quarterback to lead a team.
Right. And they're not going to win, and they're going to draft one. They're going to draft one next year.
Fine. But you got to play the rest of this year. You don't lay down 8 more games and do nothing.
There's nobody,
try to win a game.
There's nobody they can trade for that will come in here and play quarterback that will be any better than what they have.
Anybody is better or at least as good as what we have. You got to do something. You got to make a move.
They're not making a move. They're not making a move. They're playing with what they have.
And nor should they. Yes, that's where we disagree. I think they should. You know, you accept the fact, hey, we're no good, so let's leave it at that.
First off, you're halfway through the season. You're going to bring a guy in here and teach him the system halfway through the season and play him? That's irrational.
They can walk in and take over now and be as good as what we got.
You're wrong because there's nothing out there. Nobody's going to trade anything that has any value.
All right. Thank you very much for the call there. Definitely a passionate conversation. We got John calling in from St. John's County. John, welcome to the show. You're on.
Hey, appreciate it. Hey, got a question for you. I'm an avid football watcher. I'm not really up to speed on how everything works, though. But who calls the plays for the quarterback?
On this team?
There's a lot of plays that happen that it almost feels like they're not paying attention. Trying to throw the ball he's on the 1 yard line, they try to throw the ball when Murray Stones-Drew is averaging, 3-4 yards a carry.
That's the offense coordinator, though, right?
Jed Fish calls the plays. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm new to the year.
Yeah, Jed Fish is the first year offensive coordinator, came over from the University of Miami. He's been a coordinator, he hasn't been a coordinator in the NFL. He's learning as he goes. Look, he's handcuffed with what he has. It's pretty hard.
Understood.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to call plays when you have a limited offensive line and a limited quarterback.
No, I understand that. I don't think Gabbard is as bad as everybody says he is.
I used to not think that either, but I'm not so sure.
I was trying to hold on to that.
You got to get 3 seconds to throw the ball.
Well, I mean, look, the offensive line isn't very good, and Gabbard has no pocket presence. That's the problem.
Henny doesn't either.
No, he doesn't. Neither one of
them.
They're
just two bad quarterbacks.
They aren't good. That's why they're drafting one first overall next year.
All right. Thank you very much for the call there. John calling from St. John's. You can join in the conversation. Give us a shout right now. 355-NFL-1. Once again, that is 355-NFL-1. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're going to take a real quick break. We're going to be back with the last half hour here with Pete Briscoe and Marco Coleman from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Here live from Everbank Field, You are listening to Deuce Talk, WOKV, now in 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. We are live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. I'm Jeremy Ratliff stepping in here for Brian Sexton, and I'm joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco. Also joined by Marco Coleman here in the studio. Now, if you want to join the conversation, if you got a question for Marco or Pete during the show, give us a shout here. Not much time left in the show, about a half an hour or so. 355-NFL-1. Once again, that number 355-NFL-1. Give us a shout here. This portion of the show brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. And we're going to go ahead and take another caller here. We got a very patient caller who waited through the break. Scott calling in from Georgia. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your question or comment here?
All right, fellas. So right now we get the big goose egg for the wins, and so does Tampa, and Minnesota's giving us all they got with one big win. What happens if we fall into a three-way tie with them, and due to a better record, the other two teams end up drafting ahead of us? Who do you think the likely picks are? And I don't want to pick up Ponder for Gabbard either, like the other caller.
No. Look, if Minnesota and Tampa pick first, they're going to take quarterbacks.
Yeah, all three.
Well, Tampa, we don't know because Glennon. We'll see how he plays the rest of the season, but I don't think he's the answer. So I think they'll all take a quarterback. And if that's the case, then your top three quarterbacks will probably be Mariota,
Bridgewater,
and take your pick. I don't think it's Taj Boyd, although some people do. Man. Hundley, maybe.
If McCarron, people are going to be kicking themselves. Well, the person that gets McCarron in the third round is going to be real pleased.
Right. McCarron's a guy you take in the second round or something along those lines.
I don't care. I think he's better than all three of those guys.
What about Manziel?
Can you see him picking Clowney and maybe waiting for a quarterback later?
Yeah, I think in that scenario, you might take Clowney and then wait for a quarterback in the second round. You know, maybe you get Manziel at the top of the second round, or maybe you get, McCarron or somebody like that. But look, ideally, they have to draft a quarterback. They have to first. So lose all your games. You insure yourself of that.
that's not cool, Pete. You can't do that.
Huh?
That's not
what you want to do,
no,
but it's possible.
Not good, man.
All right. Scott, thank you very much for the call there. If you want to give us a shout here with a question, 355-NFL-1. Once again, 355-NFL-1. He was talking about the Vikings there a little bit, guys. Packers-Vikings yesterday. Interesting game last night. Ended with the Packers beating the Vikings in Minnesota. Last week we talked about all the injuries facing the Packers. Packers, once again, playing with a lot of those injuries, were able to put up 44 points still on offense. Does that speak to the importance of having a great quarterback in this league?
I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
It cures your ills, and yep, bad ones expose them. And you look at the Packers' offensive line. If you looked at the group, Bakhtiari is the left tackle. He's starting as a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's the only rookie left tackle starting because Joakim's down and the other guys are playing right tackle. Evan Dietrich-Smith is a center. Sitton's a good player, but they found him late in the draft. You know, the right guard, T.J. Lang, good player, but they found him later in the draft. And the right tackle is Barkley. They picked him off with the scrap heap. But Rodgers covers them up. He moves around. He escapes pressure. The wide receivers, he didn't have anybody last night except for Jordy Nelson. But they made Boykin a good player. You know, Quarles is a tight end that caught a couple balls early in the game. You can cover up your problems with a great like Rodgers. Now, they don't come along too often, but if you have one, he'll cover them up.
Darn quarterbacks. I can't stand them.
You hate the quarterbacks.
I really do. Because, I don't care what anybody says, man. Those quarterbacks are only as good as the people that help them. Now, Rodgers did that. I actually like him better than any quarterback that's out there because he is legitimately getting it done with some new faces. You know, a lot of injuries for him, and he's really responded well. But still, you got to give some credit to those guys that stepped in.
Well, no, he can't do it by himself.
Exactly.
But
That's why you give too much credit to the darn quarterback.
No, you don't.
Freaking quarterbacks, man.
If you have a quarterback like that, you have sustaining power for years and years and years. If you don't, you know, you mentioned Alex Smith.
Well, that's what any good player. You got that position taken care of, the quarterback. Now, what about your offensive lineman? I mean, it's the same thing. If you can get the best possible player at that position, that's what you want.
Well, but you don't have that. If you don't have that, that one guy at that one position will cover up the liabilities at all those other
ones. What if you don't have that guy at the left tackle position and that guy?
They have a rookie starting at left tackle. He covers him up.
He was pretty good. He did a good job.
He covers him up. Quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, quarterbacks, quarterbacks. Never, ever forget it.
The center is the main.
No, the quarterback is.
Fun disagreement here. You can join us by calling in 355-NFL-1. Once again, 355-NFL-1. Let's go ahead and take another patient caller here. Simon from St. John's County has been waiting on the line. Simon, welcome to the show. What do you got for us here?
Hey, Pete, I'm just hearing you tell people that they're wrong, but I agree with you on the quarterback. I want to ask a question about why general managers don't go after two quarterbacks. We use the first-round pick next year for a Teddy Bridgewater or a Marcus Mariota. Why wouldn't we use a third-round or fourth-round pick to pick up another quarterback, seeing that what happened to the other teams, that like a Blaine Gabbert, you have Christian Ponder that's flamed out. A lot of times they take their first-round pick, and none of them work out. So with those odds, why wouldn't you take two?
Well, I think part of that is because if you're picking that guy where you pick him, you're picking him because you think he's going to be your franchise quarterback. That doesn't always work out that way, and you're talking about hedging your bet. And if you're hedging your bet by just say you're the general manager. You pick Mariota or Bridgewater first, and then you come back in the fourth round, and you take a quarterback with an extra pick, and you're sitting there saying, okay, well, why'd you take the quarterback? You have so many other needs. Well, we're not sure about the guy we pick first. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, bring another guy in as a free agent or something, a young guy, that's a possibility. So in your scenario, you take Mariota first, and maybe in the fourth round, you'd take a guy like, McCarron wouldn't
maybe
be there in the fourth. But Boyd's not going to be there in the fourth round.
What about a Hundley or any of that?
He won't be there in the fourth round either. You're maybe like the Fales kid from San Jose State, David Fales. I don't know if you've seen him play. Somebody like that, maybe.
Yeah, the only thing I worry about is it seems like every time we miss or any team misses on a quarterback, they're out 2 or 3 years. It's like we are. The Jaguars are out for 2 or 3 years because they picked Blaine Gabbert, and it's just coming back to bite them.
Well, so let's be honest here. The Patriots got lucky by drafting Brady because they obviously didn't think enough about him until taking him in the sixth round either. So they got lucky.
Right.
Russell Wilson in the third round. Seattle, might pat themselves on the back, but they waited to the third round to get him. They weren't so sure about him. So, look, there's got to be a little bit of luck involved because, you got to get inside a guy's head too. I mean, Jamarcus Russell was a knucklehead, and it played out that way. David Carr didn't put the work in. That was the book on David Carr. He would put the work in. People think he got beat up and that's why he went in the tank. No, he didn't put the work in. So the scouting process isn't just what you do on the football field when it comes to that position. It's what you do off of it as well. You have to put the work in, take care of your body, understand the concepts. I mean, when Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and those guys come to the line of scrimmage, they know where they're going with the ball before they take the snap. And that's part of the process. So you got to have one of those guys.
One more question. Do you think that there's a possibility that they might go down the scenario kind of like what this other one of the other callers talked about with the depth of the quarterback class? Could they trade away maybe next year's first round pick, take it on Jadavian, and then maybe get someone between 10 and 15 as a quarterback? You think that's a possibility?
If you don't have a conviction on one of the guys, then maybe.
Yeah.
If you don't, but I think in the end, that position cures so many. And you talk about busted pass rusher. We've seen plenty of busted pass rusher, too, over the years.
Yeah, I agree. All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much for the call there. You can join in the conversation by calling 355-NFL-1. Once again, 355-NFL-1. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with much more. If you're on the line, please hold through the break. We're also going to talk a little bit about tonight's football game with Pete Prisco, Marco Coleman from the HananiaAutos.com studio from Everbank Field. You are listening to News Talk WOKV now in 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. We are live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. I'm Jeremy Ratliff stepping in here for Brian Sexton this evening. I'm joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco, also Marco Coleman in the studio. If you got a question, a comment, give us a shout here, 355-NFL-1. Once again, 355-NFL-1. If you're on hold, please hold with us just for a little bit here. But I want to get to tonight's game. Well, we have time. You got Seattle, St. Louis battling it out tonight in that division rivalry. Now, without Bradford on the field, Marco and Pete, does this Rams team really have much of a chance tonight?
It's going to be tough. I mean, they're playing one of the best teams in the league, that's for sure.
Kellen Clemens isn't very good. he's taking over in an offense that he's familiar with, obviously, because he played for Schottenheimer up at the Jets, so he understands the offense. I think they got to get him on the move, But that Seattle team, that defense is very good.
They got
very
pass rushers. Yeah, they got some guys get out to the quarterback, too.
But I'll say this. And the Rams can pressure the quarterback, too. And Seattle's had some problems on the offensive line. What I've seen is these teams get after Wilson, and he's so good at running outside the pocket. Keep him there. So tonight, rush your ends up the field, get your defensive tackles in his face, and play zone. See, but that's not who the Rams are. The Rams like to play with their corners and play press man, and so when you turn your back to him, he gets outside the pocket and he makes plays. He scramble plays, not just running plays, but scramble and throws and that kind of thing. Make him stay on the pocket.
It's going to be a difficult task. This is one, you know, Seattle is by far one of the most balanced teams. You figure every aspect of their team, they have it covered. Have a good defense, good offense.
See, I'm not convinced he's the long-term answer yet, though.
Who is that, Wilson?
Wilson. I want to see it
more. I mean, only one I'm convinced about in that class is Andrew Luck.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, RG3. And, I mean, but I like Wilson. I like Wilson when he was at NC State. I knew he had it then. You know, but I just thought it was going to, you know, the situation, he got drafted low because of his size. But, you know, I like
Wilson. I'm making a 5'10" quarterback stand on that spot. I am. You know, like,
so last week against Arizona. Drew Brees is what? He's right at six foot.
And yeah, you ever see him? He has to stand up to throw the football. Yeah. But last week against Arizona, they played a lot of man. And what they do is they pick and they make simple routes. So all he does is take a step and make a throw instead of putting him on the spot and making him read. And I watched when he played Carolina the first game of the season. Carolina can pressure with their four, and they played zone behind it. And he stood on the spot and looked confused at times. So I want to see if the Rams do that tonight. Rush him with your end because Chris Long – and Robert Quinn are good.
Yeah.
And then you have your defensive lineman in his face and play zone behind him.
Yeah. Don't let him get out because that is the deal. You don't want him to lose, break, contain. Yeah, that's the last place you want him.
And not just because he can run. I mean, he ran for 100 yards in the game this year.
Run or throw.
Right.
You got to have, you know, you got to go like old school option football.
Right.
He comes out that way, hit the quarterback.
Right. Blast him.
All right. The number to call, 355-NFL-1. Once again, 355-NFL-1 if you have a comment or a question. Let's get to a few callers here. They've waited with us patiently. Let's take Ken calling from the West Side. Ken, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Go Jags?
Yeah.
Hey, a quick question real quick on the coaching. I know last season we had our one season coach Malarkey, and now we have our new coach. It looks like it's going down that same path. We're going to stick through with this coach, right, and not change to another coach or anything like that?
No. Because he's staying. Don't worry about it. He's got to 2015. If they don't win by 2015, then he's in trouble.
Indeed.
Okay. Because he seems like a nice guy. You know, I think I see where he's going with his you know, coaching techniques, and I'm for him. I believe in him, even though it's not going that well this year so far, but I have faith in them, and that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Go Jags. I'll listen to the rest offline. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call there. Ken calling in for the West Side. Let's go ahead and take another caller here. We got Mark calling in from Jacks Beach. Mark, also patient, waiting through the break. Mark, welcome to the show. What do you have for us here?
Hey, what's up, Jeremy and Pete? Thanks for having me on, guys. I certainly appreciate
Marco's
it.
Marco's here, too, now. Don't forget about Marco.
they call in to see Pete. It's the Pete show.
You guys are making it sound nice because there's no way St. Louis is going to beat Seattle tonight.
No, I don't think they will. I don't think they will either, but I'm giving you a blueprint for how I would play him.
Yeah, there's no way it's going to happen. You guys are just being nice about it. And Russell Wilson doesn't have to sell anybody on, you know, what he can do. His success just speaks for itself. When it comes to the Jags, they are just an absolute embarrassment to the city of Jacksonville. Since Shad Khan has took over, the team is like 2-22. And then, you know, this caller called earlier saying maybe we should trade for somebody, and you guys kind of laughed him off. But I absolutely understand what he's saying because he's had to sit and watch this horrible team for 2 years. And there's no ray of hope. It seems like everyone's just complacent with losing and just saying, okay, well, let's just lose and hope we get a good draft pick. And that's just, for me, that's not good enough. I'm not going to spend my money to see a Jags game to watch them get annihilated.
So, well, I mean, look, you're a fan of the team. Do you have season tickets?
Oh, no. Okay. Who would have season tickets?
Yep. I mean, have you ever had season tickets?
I've gone to plenty of Jags games.
No, have you ever had season tickets?
Plenty of money down there.
Yeah, have you ever had season tickets? Even when they were good, you didn't have season tickets?
I spent a bunch of money with the Jags. Don't try to make it about a season ticket thing. I spent plenty of money going down to Jags games, paying for parking, buying things at the concession stand, buying shirts. But what I'm saying is when you go to a home game, 8 games into the season, the team hasn't even scored one touchdown at home. They scored 11 points.
Well, they scored one yesterday. That was a home game.
No, it wasn't. It was in London. That doesn't count.
That's a home game.
If you're a fan, and if you're a fan, come on, don't be silly. If you're a fan and you're paying money to
look,
go
you
to the
can spend your money any way you want to. If you don't want to go to the game, don't go to the game. Nobody's
that's
making you go to the game. But here's the other thing.
Fans, and that's why the Jags are an absolute embarrassment. It's not okay.
What are they embarrassment for? They're trying to rebuild the thing. They stink.
They're 0-8.
Right.
And everyone thinks it's okay. It's not okay.
It is okay if you're rebuilding it.
Do you realize how little respect the Jags have nationally?
Who cares?
What an absolute joke outside of Jacksonville. I care.
Who cares?
When I go somewhere wearing a Jacksonville Jaguar shirt and people laugh at me, I do care.
How much respect do the Bucks have right now?
The Bucks, they've won a Super Bowl.
Right, but what does that matter?
What does that got to do with
2013?
You know what? Some of those games has actually been competitive. There were a couple games where you're like, hey, the Bucks could actually win this one. The Jets game, for example. Have you seen a Jacksonville Jaguars game where you thought they could actually win?
No, they're not good.
Oh, see, exactly. That's
what are
point.
You trying to say? I'm agreeing with you. What is your point?
My point is that the team is horrible, and it's absolutely frustrating.
It's a bad team.
To be a fan right now.
Well, and if their plan is right, they'll be good in 2015. So you got 2 years to wait. So suffer.
Yeah, that's not really that good.
I used to love callers like you when I had my show every day, by the way. You were fun.
Hey, I'm keeping it real, man, but I enjoy you guys, and thank you for having me on. Have a good one, y'all.
All right, man.
All right, take care. Mark calling in from Jack's Beach there. If you want to weigh in as well, give us a shout here, 355-NFL-1. Once again, 355-NFL-1. Let's take another quick caller here before we move on. We got Sam calling in from the beaches. Sam, welcome to the show. What do you got for us here?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
That guy was salty. Anyway, I want to know what you guys think the final score to the Seahawks game will be tonight.
Well, I mean, Kellen Clemens is horrendous. Remember, Kellen Clemens is the quarterback that Bernie Kosar ripped when he got all the heat for ripping him, remember? He said his mom doesn't even want to watch him play. But, look, I think on a night game on the road, it'll be back-to-back road games. Forget it. Seattle's going to kill him.
They're going to kill him. I got about 34-10.
Something like that. They'll blow him out. But the only thing is... The only thing is they have pass rushers. The one thing the Rams have is pass rushers.
Yeah,
Robert Quinn's a beast.
Yeah, I got 34-10, but all the points will not be scored by Seattle's offense.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch doesn't care. He doesn't care about that.
Well, I mean...
All right, guys, appreciate it.
All right, thank you very
much. One thing the Rams have, Robert Quinn is a beast, and Chris Long is a good player. Michael Brocker is a good player. They're good in there.
Yeah, the defense, they have some players on defense, but they're offensively, they're struggling. They won't... It's going to be
Brian Schottenheimer, if his name wasn't Schottenheimer, would be coordinator in the league. Did you play
I played for Marty. Yeah, I played.
Did you like Marty?
I like Marty.
I like Marty. I don't think he's a good coach. I think he was a good coach, but he could never get you past a certain level.
Yeah. Well, you know, we weren't all like, we were 8-8. Right. It was something, too. We had a Bruce Smith, Darryl Green.
Yeah, you were all washed
Bailey.
Up.
They were all washed up. I was in the prime of my career. But we just couldn't get it done. 8-8 with all, we had a whole
Champ
of fame
wasn't
team.
Washed up. Champ was
Champ was fresh, you know, Deion Sanders.
He was washed
Mark
up.
Mark Carrier.
He was washed up.
So did a lot of the Redskins jerseys.
You were washed up.
I wasn't washed up, man. I was still on an upswing. Yeah. I was that 27, 28-year-old player you talking about.
Yeah, I know.
We got about a minute here before the end of the show, guys. Definitely a lot of good conversation here. Now, since we talked last Monday night, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting the Rams reached out to Brett Favre's agent. A lot of talk about
He's
that.
He's washed up.
I wanted to get both of your thoughts on that whole deal here. To kind of wrap up the show. Well,
Roman Gabriel wasn't available. You guys don't remember Roman Gabriel. He played quarterback for the Rams in the 60s and 70s. I mean, come on. Brett Favre? Really?
That was terrible.
The only worst call they could have made would be that crew out front for their guy.
Tebow.
Yeah, and they didn't make that call. What does that tell you? They signed a guy, Austin Davis, from Southern Mississippi, and didn't even make a call to Tebow.
Yeah,
you think 8 games into the season, it's done. It's over.
That's
but
right.
Brett Favre,
I think
please.
He's, you know, I think he's opening up a restaurant over on.
He is. It's a chicken
Hodges,
place.
Yeah, something.
He's got some kind of investment.
So he's in the chicken business.
He's in the chicken business.
All right, that pretty much wraps it up there. Now I see calls actually coming in here as we're wrapping up the show, but we don't have time to take the calls. But once again, thanks for joining us on the show. Of course, thanks to Pete. and Marco. Marco, hopefully you get a little bit of time off here with the bye week as well.
Hanging out. I'm going to
check out the Bengals.
Georgia Tech homecoming Saturday. So it's a night game.
You're going
so
to the Miami Dolphins game, too.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah, it's just all this alumni week for
you're
me.
Getting around.
There it is, baby. Uh-huh. Atlanta, Miami.
All right, thanks for joining the show. Once again, we are live tonight from HananiasAutos.com studio here from Everbank Field. Have a good night. You are listening to News Talk WOKV now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.